Do you think it's okay for President Trump to ask China to launch an investigation of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden?
I don't know if that's a real request or him just needling the press, knowing that you guys were going to get outraged by it.
Do you think it's appropriate for President Trump to ask China and Ukraine to investigate Joe Biden?
George, you really think he was serious about thinking that China's going to investigate the Biden family?
What did Peter Strzok mean when he texted Lisa Page on December 15, 2016?
Senator, whoa, and what does this have to do with Ukraine?
It has everything to do with Ukraine. Now listen.
In Washington, D.C., House Democrats are continuing to move quickly with their impeachment inquiries. But even as the Ukraine scandal embroils the White House, President Trump has continued to press forward with an often unpredictable approach to foreign policy.
And we're following breaking news from Syria. In a major U.S. policy shift this morning, American troops are pulling back to make way for Turkey's planned invasion of part of northern Syria.
On Sunday, the White House announced that President Trump is putting his support behind a Turkish military operation in northern Syria, a move that represents a dramatic shift for United States policy in the region. Previously, the United States had partnered with Kurdish forces in Syria in the fight against the Islamic State. But this latest move clears the way for Turkey to take control away from the Kurds in northern Syria. Tweeting Monday morning in response to the news, President Trump said, quote, "We will fight where it is to our benefit and only fight to win." Meanwhile, officials from North Korea said that talks with the U.S. fell apart over the weekend in Stockholm, with the two countries unable to see eye to eye. And those latest developments come days after President Trump told reporters that Ukraine and China should investigate former Vice President Joe Biden's family for corruption. Some of the president's allies have claimed that those last comments were a joke. But statements like that have also been a staple of the president's erratic approach to foreign policy and can have very real consequences. Sarah Mendelson is a professor of public policy at Carnegie Mellon and a former U.S. representative to the Economic and Social Council at the United Nations. Welcome to The Takeaway, Ambassador Mendelson.
Glad to be here.
And Ishan Tharoor is a foreign affairs writer at The Washington Post. Ishan, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll start with you. The Trump administration, Ishan, said they will allow Turkey's military campaign in northern Syria. Republican Senator and Trump ally Lindsey Graham said this could be, quote, a disaster in the making. How surprised were you by this news?
To be quite honest, I'm not that surprised. I mean, on one hand, of course, it's shocking that the Syrian Kurdish factions in this part of Syria, in northeast Syria, have been the U.S.'s closest allies on the ground in the fight against the Islamic State. They've lost some 10,000 fighters of their own in this battle and have been really a steadfast U.S. partner in this particular context. But at the same time, we've always known that President Trump wants out of this situation, and that more broadly, and this is not just something to blame the Trump administration for. This has been a kind of problem for American policy in the region. The backing of these factions creates a huge dilemma vis-a-vis the U.S. relationship with Turkey, a historic partner, a NATO ally. And this kind of compromise or deal with the Turks was going to happen in some form or the other down the road.
A couple questions on that. I mean, the president's decision in northern Syria, I'm wondering if you could tell us how this fits into his broader foreign policy agenda, which so far seems to have been characterized by his impulsivity when it comes to a lot of these issues.
The situation in Syria, he's made it very clear in his Twitter storm that happened this morning, is one that Trump wants no part of. He believes that he has smashed the Islamic State, although that's not necessarily true. And now that that's done, he wants the regional players and he wants other countries to take care of the mess that's left behind. But yes, more broadly speaking, President Trump has approached foreign policy in various contexts through transactions. He has had a complicated set of dealings with the Turks over the past couple of years. Now, presumably, there is a kind of arms deal in the works as well, so that could be part of it. But more broadly speaking, I mean, every president is transactional in some way when he approaches foreign policy. But the transactionalism for Trump is about what's in it for Trump, not necessarily what's in it for the United States' interests. And in this case, Trump has promised very clearly that he wants out of Syria. He wants to not be engaged in certain conflicts anymore. And that is a political message he's made for his base and for his reelection campaign. And he wants to follow through on that.
Ambassador Mendelson, while this is going on, we can't forget that just last week's news, we'll pivot back to Ukraine here. At the end of September, you signed a letter along with more than 300 other national security professionals condemning President Trump's actions towards Ukraine in support of an impeachment inquiry. Tell us about that.
Well, let's recall the fact pattern. Number one, the president was applying political pressure to the president, new president of Ukraine, a foreign government, for domestic political purposes. That is to get essentially holding back on military aid, which was for Ukraine to defend itself against Russia, which has invaded its country since 2014, in order to get dirt on Vice President Biden and his family. So it's right to this point about his transactional attitude towards foreign policy for personal gain.
And Ambassador, you served under the Obama administration, but the group who signed that letter was bipartisan. Is that correct?
That's correct. And composed of professionals, people who'd served multiple different administrations. It wasn't a political gesture. It was a gesture about how we feel about this country and the duties of citizenship.
Ishan, last week regarding Ukraine, President Trump reiterated that Ukraine should investigate the Bidens. And he added on camera, we should note that he suggested China should do the same. Some of the president's allies have since said that the president was joking. But how have foreign leaders viewed or responded to statements like that by the president?
That's not a completely easy thing to gauge in just a few days. But what is quite clear to foreign leaders, and especially the diplomats I speak to here in Washington, is that this is a presidency where they know that if they want to get anything from the United States, they just have to appeal to the person at the top. They have to appeal to President Trump's own sense of self-interest. And time again, we've seen that in various ways play out. President Trump, as we said earlier, this is, of course, his very transactional worldview is tethered around his own political self-interest. But also what we're seeing, and especially as, you know, no number of fact checks about what the Bidens did or did not do in the Ukraine will dissuade Trump and his allies from peddling the same, frankly, conspiracy theories. And what we're seeing is this kind of creation of a conspiratorial worldview really take hold of a segment of politics here in this country.
Ambassador Mendelson, regarding Ukraine, the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, was recalled from Kiev back in May. What precedent does the Trump administration's treatment of her set going forward?
It's a terrible precedent, but let me just step back and point to the gravity of the situation. Allies are looking at this situation and are deeply disturbed, not only by the decline of U.S. global leadership, but the erratic way in which foreign policy, U.S. foreign policy, is being conducted. Dictators are looking at this and saying, aha, the U.S. is corrupt just like everybody else. We can get away with this. They're dealing in conspiracy rather than facts. This is directly out of the Putin playbook. And what's terrifying to a lot of us is that an ambassador like Masha Yovanovitch, total pro, absolute professional, for her to be yanked back from Kiev to Washington, we knew that there was a political element to this. But if you think of diplomacy like flying an airplane, you need experienced pilots to land the plane. And there is a way in which this administration, certainly for the president, seems to favor not experts, not professionals, but his political proxies, people who are loyal to him, but who have no known experience with these countries or foreign policy.
Ambassador, additionally, Attorney General William Barr has been supporting the president by investigating conspiracy theories about the origins of the Russia investigation, and he's recently been meeting with leaders from Italy and Australia as a part of that effort. What does that investigation by the Attorney General, how does that affect the U.S. position on the world stage?
Well, I think the fact that the person he's appointed has no subpoena power is very confusing to a lot of us now. As a not a lawyer, but observing this, it feels as if Mr. Barr is essentially, again, politicizing what has been a very long investigation by Robert Mueller, which is a detailed explanation of what I consider new Russian foreign policy, the policy of using technology and digital means to undermine, in this case, the 2016 U.S. election, we would rather see the Attorney General spending his time focused on what's going on inside the United States.
Ishan, the Trump administration has been engaging in a trade war with China. Talks with North Korea's government broke down over the weekend. Talks with the Taliban also recently fell apart. Does this impeachment inquiry into President Trump give him even less leverage in negotiating with these countries going forward?
I'm not sure if the impeachment inquiry itself is necessarily a problem for Trump vis-a-vis other countries. I don't think anybody who's actually watching this scenario thinks that a Senate with a Republican majority would remove Trump in this context. But what is the case is that we are, you know, 1 year away from an election, and a lot of countries are watching what's happening in the U.S. right now and hedging their bets. That means that a lot of deals are breaking down, a lot of proposals that we thought would have some meat on their bones don't really have any, such as the Trump-Kushner plan in the Middle East. And of course, at the same time, President Trump really does want to get some stuff across the line to show something to his voters in 2020. We know that, according to reporting from CNN, President Trump told the Chinese earlier this summer that he wouldn't make much of a fuss about the protests in Hong Kong or stand up for the Hong Kongers as long as these trade deals or trade negotiations are taking place. And that certainly does seem to be a sort of broader picture of how this administration has approached foreign policy throughout.
So, Ambassador Mendelson, you've also noticed that China is gaining more leverage within the United Nations as the Trump administration has been taking steps back. How significant is that?
It's significant on a number of levels. On the one hand, we're seeing a decline in U.S. global leadership in general. The Americans are just not there in the numbers that we've seen in previous administrations. So the Chinese are able to, they're giving more money to the UN, they're able to get important positions within the UN, but it really goes to this larger issue of the international order that we have been so involved in creating post-World War II. If we want to live in a world that is not rule of law bound, but rule of man bound, where there's an increase in corruption, where there's surveillance of citizens, as you see with the Uyghur population in China, then this is a particularly dangerous moment. For a lot of our allies, there's tremendous worry when you see this sort of cratering of U.S. engagement on so many issues, driven by this erratic president who is undisciplined and impulsive. And it's bizarre to me how much the president has played into the way in which the Kremlin thinks about Ukraine. The way the president talks about Ukraine as these terrible people and everybody's corrupt and isn't focused on the fact that Russia has invaded Ukraine and that there was a revolution in Ukraine in order to advance dignity and human rights and anti-corruption. And frankly, it's the same kind of dynamic on one level that's playing out in Hong Kong. So we've got a high-stakes game going on. We're either for human rights and the rule of law, or we're not, and we're going to cede it, and others are going to come into the vacuum.
Ishan Tharoor is a foreign affairs writer at The Washington Post. And Sarah Mendelson is a former U.S. representative to the Economic and Social Council at the United Nations from 2015 to 2017. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.